This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The wave of executive orders issued by President Trump are still being rolled out, but several are already facing lawsuits, including President Trump's directive to block birthright citizenship.
On day two of President Trump's second term, states from Massachusetts to California are suing over the executive order to block birthright citizenship, calling it extreme and a clear violation of the 14th Amendment. California Attorney General Rob Bonta says, yes, President Trump is fulfilling a campaign promise, but
today, I'm also following through on a promise to take action if Trump violates the law.
ABC's Alex Stone. The FDA expanding approval for Johnson & Johnson's nasal spray ketamine-derived treatment for standalone use. The drug was already approved in 2019 for severe depression, but only if used with other prescribed antidepressant drugs. Dangerous cold dipping further into the south, and the northeast is heading into its coldest night yet of the season. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
A Wisconsin man is among the people pardoned by an executive order signed by President Donald Trump yesterday. With more, here's Civic Media's Lisa Hale.
A Pulaski man will benefit from an executive order signed by President Donald Trump during his first few hours in office yesterday.
So this is January 6th. These are the hostages. Approximately 1,500 for a pardon.
Yes.
Full pardon.
One of those pardoned is Riley Casper of Pulaski, who was sentenced to 37 months in prison for assaulting police officers at the Capitol.
Several of those pardoned have already been released from custody. Police have arrested a suspect in Sunday's shooting on La Crosse's north side. The LCPD said that a 28-year-old man was taken into custody during a traffic stop Sunday evening. The shooting victim, 42-year-old Justin Betts, died from his wounds at a hospital in La Crosse. The two men had an argument before the shooting. The 28-year-old suspect is being held on a $1 million cash bond, according to online court records. He wasn't charged on Monday due to the holiday, but is being held on a charge of first-degree intentional homicide. The Emergency Day Center in La Crosse will have extended hours today due to the extremely cold temperatures we're having. It's located at La Crosse's Public Library's main branch and runs until 7 p.m. It's open to anybody who's looking to get out of the cold weather and will be staffed by people from both the city and county. Anyone needing to use the day shelter will have to follow a set of rules and check in and out, and access to the main library is only available during open library hours. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers will give the annual State of the State address tomorrow. Tune in to WLCX for special coverage of the speech, the Republican legislative response, and analysis you won't find anywhere else. Join Civic Media's Todd Alba, political editor Dan Schaefer, members of the Civic Media News Team, and Up North News Radio's Pat Kreitlow for special live coverage, which begins just before 7 p.m. across the Civic Media Network and on the free Civic Media app.
I'm Jimmy Cuska for AM 1490 WLCX and LacrosseEagle.com.
The Bucks at midseason. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks are at the halfway point of the regular season. 41 games completed, 41 to go. The Bucks are 24-17 so far, thanks to having just won four in a row at home. And they're in fourth place in the Eastern Conference behind Cleveland, Boston, and New York. Bucks forward, Chris Middleton.
Yeah, with the up and down season that we've had so far, I think we'll take it. Knowing that, you know, we could be better in a lot of different areas. There's a lot of games I think we dropped that we thought we should have won. But to be 7 games over 500 with, you know, all the highs and lows, I guess I think we'll take it right now. Hopefully, you know, we keep getting those wins up and getting a higher win percentage.
The Bucks on the road tomorrow night in New Orleans against the Pelicans. Tip-off time, 7 o'clock. NFL, the Chicago Bears have a new head coach, 38-year-old Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator of the Detroit Lions. And the Ohio State Buckeyes, the new national champions of college football after beating Notre Dame 34-23. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy sky tonight, scattered flurries and snow showers, and rising temps into the teens by dawn. For tomorrow, a mostly cloudy day, still some flurries, not as cold, highs mid-20s. Colder again for Thursday, mostly sunny and a high only in the low teens, but warming back up for the weekend. Right now, it's 3.
Hi, I'm Samuel L. Jackson. When the UNCF, the United Negro College Fund, was founded 80 years ago, they hoped that they could change this nation for the better, and they have. As a proud alum of an HBCU, Morehouse College,
I'm an advocate for HBCU. I support the work that UNCF does for students of color, scholarship, and internship for 50,000 deserving students each year. Visit uncf.org today, and remember, a mind is a terrible thing to waste.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Jack Smith's report. Maggie, prosecutors considered charging Trump with inciting insurrection, but didn't.
There's an old saying, if you shoot at the king, don't miss. If it's someone who's really powerful or really rich, I gotta be absolutely certain I can prove every charge beyond a reasonable doubt. When it's people that don't have means, then it's I'll throw every conceivable charge at you.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time for a Hump Day edition. Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio, is with us, along with Trigby Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who likes to dine and dash, Pete Schwabba.
Let's do it. This night needs to be lit, and we are just the people to do it. Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. My fellow Wisconsinites, we bring you Nightlight, a show that is broadcasting live from downtown Green Bay and reaching you wherever you are in the state. We are broadcasting statewide. Great to have you with me on this ridiculously frigid. I mean, it's just twice today I was asked, how cold is it there? And I said, zero. It's no degrees. There are no degrees. That's how cold it is. And it was windy. Conrad, you're all bundled up tonight.
You like my little jacket that I brought in?
It looks like you should be collecting maple syrup.
It has fur inside it, too.
Look at that. And you have a sweatshirt on.
No. Just a shirt.
Just a shirt. Is it a long sleeve?
Otherwise, that'd be too hot. No, okay. It's a t-shirt.
Oh, that's not too bad.
But I got fur on, so.
You're supporting the fur. Good for you. Yeah, great to have you. We had a really fun show tonight, ladies and gentlemen. And let me just say at the top of the show, helping us light the night, what better way and what better assistance to light said night than with the help of a cigar company. Appleton Cigar Company on College Ave helps us light the night here at Nightlight. They've been serving the community for over 25 years. If you are a cigar aficionado, or even if you just like cigars and you're looking for a one-of-a-kind experience, check out Appleton Cigar. They boast the largest selection of cigars north of Milwaukee with over 700 cigars to choose from and a walk-in humidor. Have you ever been in a walk-in humidor, Conrad?
I can't say I have.
You know what I like about them?
What's that?
You just walk right in. There's no leaning, no reaching. You walk right in. The Cigar Lounge offers an impressive variety of spirits and cocktails, which it really enhances your experience because every cigar lounge I've been to did not have cocktails, believe it or not. But Appleton Cigar does. They pair that perfectly with a premium cigar for the full experience. Head down to Appleton Cigar at 415 College Avenue, Monday through Saturday, 11:30 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. For more information, go to appletoncigar.com. There is nothing better than a cigar company, folks, to help us light the night here at Nightlight. And they are doing that. We're glad to have them on board. So much going on. We've got some talk. There's a new book out called The Meet the Parents Story about the making of Meet the Parents, the live-action film. Full disclaimer or disclosure, however you want to say it, my former or sometimes still writing partner, Greg Liana, created the Meet the Parents franchise and had quite a journey in doing so. He got backstabbed a little bit, and it was quite – there's a lot of drama behind this comedy. And there's a new book out by Laura Enright. And Laura and Greg will be joining me at 6:35 to talk about this really cool new book with some behind-the-scenes Hollywood stuff. That is my favorite stuff about show business. I mean, obviously, I love the content, the movies, the TV, music, comedy, everything. But there's nothing like a good behind-the-scenes story to whet your appetite for some good drama. And Laura and Greg will be here at 6:35 to discuss the Meet the Parents story. Get your copy, and we'll tell you where you can do that too. And then we're going to have some Herb Conrad, is it Herb?
Herb.
Herb. Yeah. We're going to have some herb talk at 7:20 with Mason Hutchinson. He is an herbalist and has a podcast dedicated to herbs. And I think that's called Herb Rally. So Mason's coming into the studio, which I think is cool. Do you think he'll bring some herbs?
You know, it'd be hilarious, though, if his name was actually Herb.
Herb. Herb with herbs.
Yeah, I hope you bring some herbs, though.
Let's herb with herb.
Yeah.
You can only bring the legal kind, though.
Yes.
You can't bring any of that wacky tobacco. So I hope Mason knows that before he gets here. I'm not really a practitioner of such herbs anyway, but, you know, a lot of people are. And I would think if marijuana is ever legalized in Wisconsin, a guy who knows a lot about herbs would be the guy first in the door, maybe. I don't know. But it's all about community. He and his wife, they travel around. They're part of this herbal community, which I think is really interesting. And I got to be honest, I don't know much about herbs. I know I must eat them at times. You can take supplements, all kinds of stuff. But we're going to learn more about it. And I'm kind of excited to, because I'm always looking for ways to get more herbs in my body. To learn about something new that has a lot of health benefits and is good at promoting the community, too. So it'll be good to meet Mason at 7:20. He's coming into the station, and he was introduced to us by J.B. Thompson, who is the guy behind the guy. J.B. has introduced us to several guests in the Northeast Wisconsin area, and he is the guy behind the guy. He just makes deals. There's no money being exchanged. We don't pay any guests, but we have them in. We have a nice conversation. That's what it's all about. Speaking of frigid cold, as we were just moments ago, you know, that leads us to our question of the night.
Talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Okay, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
I love that. Gumanda. So cool. If you didn't have air conditioning or heat, would you take extreme heat or cold? What do you prefer? You got no choice. Because you don't have air conditioning or heat, but you do have a choice. What do you opt for? Extreme heat or extreme cold? Let's say extreme heat is like 90 degrees. Maybe some humidity. Even maybe 100. And extreme cold is like what it is now, zero. Are you closer to wanting extreme heat? Closer to 100? Or closer to zero in extreme cold? You don't have heat or air conditioning. That is not an option.
Can I have a fan?
No cheats. You're just baking in your own juices, or you're shivering.
I think Lisa said this last time she was on. I forget what we were talking about, but she said you can always put on layers, but you can only take so many off.
That was a learned comment. Yeah, I guess so you would opt in favor of the cold then. Because you could bundle up. I guess there are no limit to clothes, but...
Blankets, everything you can imagine. Just maybe a mattress I'll put on top of myself, too.
All right, so you're going cold. I'm going heat.
Really?
Yeah.
You can handle?
Let's do this. Let's say in cold, you can have layers. In heat, you can live by water and have drinking water. So you won't freeze to death. You'll still be very cold, even with layers. Or in the heat... You can have temporary relief, like in a lake, and you won't dehydrate. You'll have water. So that's the question of the night, folks. Let us know where you stand. Most people either say they're more for the hot or more for the cold. Most of the people I know, I think, don't like heat.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's a tough question, but I'm going to go heat. And you're cold.
Yeah. I think I'd still stay with, because I just put so many layers on where eventually I'll get warm. I hope.
Yeah. And you can't have a hot shower either.
Oh, no.
So that's what... I got to be honest. There are days I take a really hot shower, but then like on nights like this, when it's cold and windy, even going from my car to the house, I can get a chill and I'll jump in the shower again just to warm up. I mean, I am a total wimp. And if there is an apocalypse, and I hope there is not... I think I'd migrate south. I think I would take heat. But let us know what you think. It's always more fun when we get to read what other people think. And people on this show, listeners of this show, often think outside the box, which I love. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Do you prefer the extreme heat or extreme cold? You have no heat or air conditioning. If you choose cold, you can bundle up. If you choose heat, you can have a lake nearby and drinking water so you don't dehydrate. But you're going to be uncomfortable either way. That's a good question. I'm interested to see what people think. So I don't know if you're aware of this, Conrad, but recently, oh, that number, by the way, is 855-752-4842, or text us on the app. So easy to use. You know, just click the little text button. You get right through to us or text us on the stream. And Conrad, I know people know where they can watch the radio, but tell them anyway.
So we're on WISS, WGBW, and Nightlight with Pichuaba on Facebook. On YouTube, it's Civic Media or WGBW. And on Twitter, it is Civic Media or WGBW.
Boom. Give us a like. Yeah, give us a like, give us a follow, give us your opinion. We'd love to hear from you. This, I thought, I don't know if you're aware of this, but we've had a little fun with the Hawk Tua girl over the, not that kind of fun. We've talked about the Hawk Tua girl, several times. We did a little trailer for her reality show that was, you know, never quite launched. Do you know she's disappeared?
I think it's because she launched that scam coin or whatever. Was it actually just called the Hawk Tua coin?
I guess so.
Who in their right mind would be like, you know what? Yeah, let's put some money into that.
I know. My first instinct was to say there's a sucker born every minute, but she has not been heard from in like 6 weeks. And this, I think I saw this on Business Insider. Initially, hitting the market capitalization of $500 million. And it was money. It was shock. It was like a money sign and then hawk. Quickly dropped to $25 million, resulting in significant financial losses for investors. The controversy escalated when some investors accused Haley Welch and her team of insider trading and filed complaints with the Securities and Exchange Commission. It was $500 million and dropped to $25 million. And a lot of people are saying she took the money and ran.
I could see it. I mean, so what would happen if we signed up for the membership? You think it's just like, oh, sorry.
Would happen. Two words. We'd be out of our money. At first I was like, hey, buyer beware. But if you're that much of an idiot, first of all, why do you want a coin? A meme coin or whatever they're calling it. I don't understand why you'd put down your hard-earned money for this. And I have friends that have said, oh, she seems like a great girl. Okay, maybe she is. Maybe she's not behind this. Maybe the people that created her persona, so to speak, or branded her are the ones behind it. I don't know. It is a bad look. And she's probably done. She had a good run. I hope she pocketed the money. And I hope she didn't rip people off.
You know, I'm sad I don't get to listen to her podcast anymore. That was a weekly thing. Yeah, that was a weekly thing for me.
Well, the reality show's never hit the airwaves now at this point either. So, all right, we've got we got a lot of stuff to talk about. Razzies are out. We'll see who really stunk it up at the box office this year. Then we're going to talk about the Meet the Parents story at 6:35. We got a lot to get to. It's Nightlight with Pichuaba on the Civic Media Radio Network. And it breaks my heart when it did not fall. You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The Todd Allbush Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina?
Yes.
Can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Allbush Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Brad Schimmel, a J6 sympathizer, and he wants to be your next Wisconsin Supreme Court
justice. When he was Attorney General of Wisconsin, he spent thousands of dollars on memorial coins.
I would have been fired.
That stood for kicking ass every day. Hey, if you got to get a coin that says it, you're probably not doing it.
With your face on it.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, I'm Anthony Anderson. For the past 80 years, the United Negro College Fund has helped more than 500,000 students graduate from college and become leaders of our nation. Since its beginning in 1944, UNCF has made one truth known: a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Support UNCF as they continue supporting the dreams and hopes of 50,000 deserving students each year. Please visit uncf.org today. Happy 80th, UNCF.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
From the 920, Annie in Watertown says, we're at the point where no degrees is better than less than no degrees. That's very true, Annie. It's still hard to say. It's nothing. It's no degrees. How cold is it there? Nothing? None. We have no degrees. Annie says, extreme heat in all caps, please. I'm with you, Annie. Now, we are saying that when it's ridiculously cold right now. So maybe in the summer I feel differently, but I doubt it. Annie and I are aligned. Monica in Mount Horeb, she's in the 608, says, extreme heat. My hands hurt from the cold. Just dumping the trash in the bin today and wheeling it out to the curb. That is weird because your hand or parts of your body can get so cold, it feels like they're hot. I don't think that's what Monica was saying there, but it just made me think of some of the sensations I've had when I've been really cold. It's like a sting. But Monica's also in favor of extreme heat. So Jim in Appleton says, Pete, words of someone who spent too many years living in SoCal. Yeah, maybe, Jim. I don't know. You're not really answering the question, though, either, Jim. I think Jim is probably would lean cold there since he's teasing me about living in Southern California, unless he meant himself. Maybe Jim lived in SoCal. I'm going to go heat. So far, we've had all heat. Steve from Florida says, Grandma Krieger agrees with you, Pete. Conrad's grandma agrees with me. Conrad, have you noticed your grandma and I are pretty much in cahoots on everything that comes up on this show?
I think so.
I think
yes.
I have to meet this woman. Extreme heat, says Grandma Krieger. That's why I'm in Florida right now. That's a good reason. Jim in Appleton says, I still, even with the heat beating lake, prefer cold. All right. And Jim is saying that when it's 0 degrees, zero. It's nothing outside. So good for you, Jim. Stick your principles. Paula, Conrad's mother, checking in, says, I much prefer being warmer. I got tired of bundling up every time I went outside. Most of the year, I can just wear a t-shirt and shorts. See, that's living.
So it's actually -4.
-4.
So it's that's not feels like -4. It
no,
is negative four.
Actual.
It's actual -4.
So there are degrees in play.
But it's negative.
They're just on the wrong side of the zero. Not that it matters that much when we're down that low.
It feels like -13, though.
With the wind, yeah. A lot of schools were canceled today just because of cold, preemptively, like in anticipation of wind and kids that have to wait for buses, that kind of stuff. Steady Eddie's early tonight.
Yeah.
He planned ahead. He's in the 608. He says, Pete, I'll take Tucson over Fargo, heat over cold, although the movie was funny and warm. Steadfast Edward. Steady Eddie, a little shorter than usual tonight. A little earlier, must have a hot date. He had to get out the door. Thank you, Steady Eddie. Always great to hear from you. Always great to hear from Jim, Conrad's parents, Annie, Monica, everybody. We love getting your texts. Keep them coming. You can also call us too, folks. We have multiple phone lines now. I don't think we're making as big a deal about that as we should, Conrad. We have more than one phone line, so you can call too. we welcome any kind of interaction. So the Razzies came out. These are the awards. I think they're given out by Harvard. They're the worst. They give out awards to the worst movies and the worst performances. They're called the Razzies. The Hollywood Reporter listed them earlier today. Leading the list, Joker 2, Folie à Deux. I think they had 9. I just read this. Where is that? Yeah. No, 7 nominations, including worst movie, performances. I mean, that's bad. That's, people have fun with it, but that's got to be, if you're an actor, like if you're Lady Gaga or Joaquin Phoenix, that hurts. Or if you're, who's the, Todd Phillips is the director behind it. Borderlands. What?
That movie was bad.
Did you see that movie?
It was so bad. I was excited for it. It's based on a video game. And it just didn't tell the story great. Kevin Hart was like, it was like trying to be funny in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, not that's just Kevin natural. Hart. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I forget who else was in it, but I didn't like it.
Okay. Neither did the people that vote on the Razzies.
Yeah.
Borderlands, Madam Web, Megalopolis.
Yeah, Madam Web was not good.
Is that the Dakota Johnson film?
Yeah. Based in the
That she
Spider-Man.
Threw everybody under the bus.
That's right. Yeah.
Megalopolis, that's Francis Ford Coppola's passion project in which he put like $100 million of his own bucks into. But a lot of people said it wasn't as bad. Reagan also was up there. They all got 6 nominations apiece. Unfrosted, the Jerry Seinfeld film.
Really?
Yeah, got 4. Like, I didn't like that, but it was different and weird. Like,
yeah.
I wouldn't put it into worst of all time. It was just kind of like jokey.
Yeah.
And kind of different. So I think that's kind of cool. I don't know. I didn't like the movie that much, but that got 4 nominations and The Crow got 2. So
okay.
There you go. I don't know.
I got an early nomination for next year.
Yeah.
Back in Action. I watched that over the weekend, and it's Cameron Diaz and why can't I think of his name? Hold on.
Cameron Diaz. Going to the Google.
Jamie Foxx. I don't know why I couldn't think of his name. But
oh, I remember that movie. I didn't see it, though.
It sucked. It was terrible. There was no, I don't know. It just wasn't a fun movie. You could predict everything. And
that's horrible.
There was no chemistry between Jamie Foxx and Cameron Diaz, even though they're husband and wife.
Wait,
I don't know.
What do you mean their husband? Oh, in the movie, their husband and wife. Yeah.
Yeah.
This says, among the actors receiving mentions were Joaquin Phoenix, Kate Blanchett, Lady Gaga, both from Folie à Deux, and John Voight, one of President Trump's newly appointed ambassadors to Hollywood, who was nominated for his performances in, in a near record 4 films. Oh, that's a bite. And before anybody judges, that's before, these were voted on before anybody knew John Voight's ambassadorship to Hollywood. But, and you know what? A lot of these people are good actors. Joaquin Phoenix, good actor. John Voight is a great actor. He's a little, he says weird things now in interviews, but he was a great actor, still is. Kate Blanchett, great actor, still nominated. All right. We'll look into this some more. There's a lot of, oh my God, worst picture. Actor, Dennis Quaid for Reagan, Jerry Seinfeld for Unfrosted, Joaquin Phoenix.
Wow.
Jack Black, Dear Santa.
No.
Nominated for a Razzie.
No.
Actresses, Kate Blanchett, Lady Gaga, Bryce Dallas Howard for Argyle, Dakota Johnson and Madam Web, and Jennifer Lopez. Jenny Lopez? Get out of here. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk about a new book about the movie Meet the Parents. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. So great to have you with me on this Tuesday night on the Civic Media Radio Network. Down along the avenue, some guys were shooting pool, and I heard the sound of acapella groove. Singing late in the evening, and all the girls out on the sunset. But I learned to play some lead guitar. I was underage in this redneck bar. Stepped outside and smoked myself a J. You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Gas prices spiked ahead of President Donald Trump's inauguration. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
Gas prices rose 13.3 cents during the last week. The average across the state is $2.93 today. This is 9.5 cents higher than a month ago and over 22.5 cents per gallon higher than this time last year. The national average also rose during the last week, with that average at $3.09 today. Oil prices have reached their highest level since July, driving the national average up. Officials at Gas Buddy say with President Trump's inauguration this week, there could be price impacts depending on the executive orders he is preparing to sign. They will be closely monitoring potential impacts with the threat of tariffs and possible retribution from Canada. Higher prices could begin in a few weeks anyway, with the traditional seasonal rise, aside from what President Trump decides to do from the Oval Office.
Prices are trending locally higher than the statewide average, with some locations now topping $3 per gallon in the Cooley region. Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate Susan Crawford was in western Wisconsin yesterday to meet with potential voters. Crawford made visits to Richland Center and Viroqua. Earlier in the day, she was in southeastern Wisconsin. Crawford said her campaign was focused on protecting people's rights and upholding the Constitution. She'll face conservative-backed Brad Schimmel on the April 1st statewide election for the officially nonpartisan office. It's expected to be the most expensive judicial race in history. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers will give the annual State of the State address tomorrow. Tune in to WLCX for special coverage of the speech, the Republican legislative response, and analysis you won't find anywhere else. Join Civic Media's Todd Alba, political editor Dan Schaefer, members of the Civic Media News team, and Up North News Radio's Pat Kreitlow for special live coverage, which begins just before 7 p.m. across the Civic Media Network and on the free Civic Media app.
You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now at civicmedia.us/app. I'm Jimmy Cuska for AM 1490 WLCX and lacrosseeagle.com.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Comedian Dave Chappelle has made a living being funny and controversial, which is tough to do. On last weekend's Saturday Night Live, the comedian said he was tired of being controversial. During his fourth time hosting the show, Chappelle wished new President Trump good luck, joked about the LA fires, and at one point said he was never invited to a Diddy party, adding that that is a hard way to find out you're ugly. He might be tired of being controversial, but it will be interesting to see if he can avoid those urges over the next 4 years. Awards season is heating up, even for the lesser-known award events. Saudi Arabia's Joy Awards took place over the weekend and had some serious star power in attendance. Morgan Freeman was honored with a Lifetime Achievement Award, which was presented by Anthony Hopkins. Matthew McConaughey was given the award for Best Personality, which is really impressive given that he makes the absolute worst commercials. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy sky tonight, scattered flurries and snow showers and rising temps into the teens by dawn. For tomorrow, a mostly cloudy day, still some flurries, not as cold, highs mid-20s. Colder again for Thursday, mostly sunny and a high only in the low teens, but warming back up for the weekend. Currently, it's 4.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Hegseth, confirmation hearing.
I've never disparaged women serving in the military.
Except for, you know, the podcast interview in like late November of 2024 when he said women in combat weaken the military. Except for that, Pete, did you get body snatched? Are you not the same guy that sat down in the Brosphere podcast?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Luke Mathers joins us now.
The Bucks were playing, the Badgers were hosting Minnesota, and I couldn't get either of those games on YouTube TV.
Years later, they're going to look back at this and go, oh my God, how did you guys get through it? I mean,
things don't happen in a vacuum, though, and you have to elect people that will break up these giant monopolies and allow us to watch our favorite teams in peace.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ooh, let's unplug from the politics and rock some local tunes on Max Inc. This week, we welcome Or Does It Explode and Chicago Blues Hall of Famer Paul Flipowitz. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, this is Jenny Slate, and you are listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Gonna be some sweet sounds coming down.
I bet you're singing proud.
back. Great to have you with me on this Tuesday night, this frigid Tuesday night in the state of Wisconsin. We're broadcasting live from downtown Green Bay. Do we have, is Laura stream or phone?
She's on the phone.
Oh, she is. Laura, are you with us?
Yeah.
Hey, fantastic. We're trying to get Greg lined up. He thought it was next week, okay. but I think he's going to join us in a few minutes with his buddy Jim Vincent, who worked on the original Meet the Parents, so it worked out very well. But it's great to have you. My guest is Laura Enright. She is an author of many books, but most recently, Meet the Parents story, which just to give some background to the listeners, Laura, Greg Liana was my writing partner and is my sometimes still writing partner. We sold some scripts to studios. And when I met Greg, he had just sold or he had made completed, I should say, an indie film called Meet the Parents that went over gangbusters, this great little independent film. Was purchased by Universal, and that's kind of around the time I met Greg and started writing with him. This live-action film with Ben Stiller and Robert De Niro was just about to hit theaters. And there's a lot of drama behind the scenes in from step A to step B, from an independent film to getting it to the big screen in Hollywood. And Laura just wrote a book about all of that. And I'm thrilled to welcome her onto Nightlight right now, author Laura Enright. Great to have you, Laura, and great to meet you.
Oh, great to be here. Thank you.
Laura joked in the email, Conrad, that we're not paying her something like that enough to be on the show. I said our budget doesn't really involve paying guests typically, much to our chagrin. But so thank you.
I've decided to slum.
Thank you for slumming it with us. Do we have, is Greg, are you there? Hey, there he is.
I am. I thought this was radio.
This is radio, but you got it
for radio.
That's okay. You got a great looking beard. You got a little goatee going. I like that. Good to have you. It's great to have you both here. Laura is on with us too, Greg. I just told the story. Kind of about how, you know, a little bit of the thumbnail knowledge I have about what happened from just talking to you over the years. But let's start with Laura. Tell us about the book, The Meet the Parents Story. Greg, by the way, for those of you listening, created the Meet the Parents franchise. He made the independent film we were just talking about, and it eventually got to the big screen, spawned two sequels, was this humongous success. And that's the reason Greg wears very expensive clothes. Laura, tell us a little bit about the book.
It's really actually a fascinating story, and also it's a good insight into how that whole system works, you know, from like you said, from A to B to C to D, and kind of what, you know, what people have to go through to, you know, be creative, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah. He and Mary Ruth were dealing with Universal, and Universal's been around for a long time, and right. they know how to craft a deal. So,
can I just say,
yeah,
I read the book, and I read the book, and it made me depressed.
My job is done.
Yeah, that's kind
Laura did a great job of bringing it to life, but it's just depressing to relive some of this stuff.
Let me just give an example of how I know exactly what Greg means, because that was good for you, Greg. I think, you know, put some money in your pocket, got you some notoriety, but you were so depressed through the process that we were at a meeting, Laura, going in at the Zucker Brothers, couple Wisconsinites, and we're waiting in the waiting room, and the headline on Variety says, Meet the Parents surpasses $100 million. 5 minutes later in the meeting, Greg says, they ruined my movie. And all these Hollywood types, they have no idea what he's talking about. They're just like, all they see is $100 million. You know?
How with the money, they ruin my movie.
but
Greg, wasn't Chevy Chase at that meeting?
Yes, that was the time I rode up in the elevator with Chevy Chase, and that was kind of thrilling. And he kind of was ignoring us, but we were all waiting to go in, and then you held up the headline, and Chevy Chase all of a sudden kind of was talking to us then, like, oh.
We existed, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But Greg, talk a little bit about why that was depressing for you, because it was such a rocky road from you selling the whole concept to getting it on the screen at Universal, and kind of how you were treated. Tell that story a little bit.
Well, I can't really complain, but just that we had such high hopes for our film. It did so well, got such great reviews. People really liked it. And just that we had to, you know, sell it to get remade, and then we can't even show it now. So to me, it's just a kind of a depressing story. But
you also,
I think that's the heart of it. You guys wanted your movie out there. You wanted that distributed. And not that it wasn't a good thing in some respects the way it happened, but it's not your film. I think that's what's eating at you the most. It's like, not your film. And your
film. It may be interesting for you, the author. You have an interesting story, but to me it's depressing because I lived it.
Well, yeah, no. And I get that. I mentioned that when we were speaking about it. It's like, yeah, I can see that completely.
Greg, when you read the book, did Laura kind of capture sort of exactly what you went through? Because there's part of this story that I feel like.
Yeah.
And is the other writer taking your name off the script when he handed it in? Is that all in the book as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's all that. She did an amazing job of research. But because it's so detailed is why I was like, oh, I'm sad.
Some of the stuff you forgot, too.
Yeah, I know.
Really?
Like, I thought it was funny. I'm like, oh, I didn't know that happened. Yeah, it did.
So, Laura, how much research went into this book? Like, how long did it take to write?
It was a long time. I mean, I got to be honest. I was actually working a lot of hours at two jobs, so that was hard. That was part of the hard part. But I think when did you come? It was to 2020, maybe. So it's been a number of years. Okay. And it's a matter of tracking people down, getting, you know, arranging times for interviews and tracking the information down, a lot of it online, newspapers, things like that, watching the new movies the commentary, getting information from that. It was quite a while.
How did you guys meet? Like, Greg, how did you connect with Laura? Because like I know you wanted your story out there, rightfully so. How did this happen where you met the right exact person to do that?
Well, I had known Laura from high school at Maine South, and I was a big fan of a couple of her books that she wrote that I read that I thought were great, these two vampire books. And and she expressed an interest in telling the Meet the Parents story, so I was like, okay, you know. And she just did an amazing job of research and went to town.
So, Laura, you wrote books about vampires and now a different kind of vampire. Hollywood studio system.
Studio vampire.
Gave her good material. Yeah.
Was it hard to get interviews like with people that were in the know? Like, Greg, you know, you and I know our agents kind of knew the story. And, you know, just to let everybody know, the other writer on this, I mentioned we were writing partners, Greg. The other writer on Greg's Meet the Parents was a really talented writer named Mary Ruth Clark. Did you talk to Mary Ruth, Laura? Mm-hmm. I assume so.
No, yeah.
She talked to Jim Hertzfeld.
Yeah, I got an interview with Jim Hertzfeld, which actually surprised me. He was very forthcoming.
Okay.
That kind of threw me off because I was expecting it all to be a little more cagey.
Yeah.
But
he won. Why would he be cagey?
Huh?
He said he won. Yeah.
Well, why would he be caged?
Because he still got an image to protect. And some of the stuff he came out and said was basically like that, you know, whole thing where he kind of campaigned to have you guys to make the Writers Guild think that it was a transcript you had submitted of the original movie and not a script written for Universal when Universal took you guys on. That's not a really good look for him. So I was surprised by that story.
So here's
did you get that, Pete?
Yeah, here's what happened. So Greg handed in a version of, he sold his movie to Universal. They hired him to do a script, right, Greg?
Two drafts.
And then he handed those in, and like happened so often, this happened to us with the guy thing, Greg, they brought in other writers. Well, this other writer they brought in took Greg's name off the script. That's who we're talking about here, this Jim Hertzfeld. Mm-hmm. And he was campaigning behind the scenes to get Greg's name, was it taken off the script or just, I don't know.
Off screenplay by it.
Okay.
He was actually trying to get Hamburger's name off there too. Is it Hamburg? Hamburg. he was trying to get Hamburg's name off there as well.
The other credited writer.
A Jim Hertzfeld joint.
Wow. And he copped to that in the interview? Like he admitted
that? He didn't cop to it. It was in the notes for, they gave me the notes from the Writers Guild when they were trying to figure out credit when they approached him. And in it, it stated that he was also trying to get Jim, John Hamburg off there.
I mean, could you even
writer A, B, writer C, but I could figure it out.
Like, he had already been paid to do the rewrite. He was going to be the main writer either way. Could you even imagine doing something like that, Greg? Yeah. Like, campaigning to have someone else's name, who created the franchise, have your name taken off the script? I can't believe that.
Well, he was panicking at the thought that Mara Ruth and I would have gotten screenplay. Because, this is not in the book, I guess, because we couldn't verify it, but I do remember it. He was calling my agent at the time, Stu Fry, saying, Greg has got to take story by. I just bought a house.
And I did look it up. He did buy a house around that time.
It happened.
The property record.
I didn't make it up. I was there.
Well,
probably.
Here's another variable to this story that I love. Okay, so Greg and I, we had this, I would say, of the people that represented us around the time we sold a guy thing, our favorite of our reps was our lawyer, Bob Wallerstein, who Greg said, I said, did you talk to Bob? He said, yeah. Bob also represented Robert De Niro, who was entitled to like 5% of the gross. So he had absolutely no motivation to go to bat for Greg.
Right.
Not that he wouldn't have.
Well,
I'm just
explains some stuff.
Yeah. And Bob's a great guy, but I did think that was kind of funny. It's like everybody wants to make money off this piece of property. And
they did.
They're sticking it to the guy who created the whole thing in the first place.
Well, you know what the real irony is? Is that after it got to Nancy Tenenbaum, who was fighting to get the remake made, there were like, I think, 4 or 5 years where Universal put it on a shelf and did very little with it. So it's like she had to really, really fight to make them understand that this could be a big movie. And then finally, it's remade, and everybody's okay. This is, I think Hertzfeld saw it too, and I think that's one reason he was all gangbusters to go after it, because I think he realized how big this movie could be too. So Universal seemed not to.
Was that ever given to you, Greg, as a reason like why it sat on the shelf? I remember you said the director Jay Roach is the one that, or first Steven Soderbergh saw it and really wanted to make it. And that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. It sat on the shelf. Jay Roach had the juice, I guess, at the time to get it made. What did they ever give you a reason why they didn't make this? It's like the highest grossing live action film of all time or something like that.
Yeah, because it was a good idea, probably.
They're scared of good ideas.
Yeah, people would relate to it. It's funny. It's just all the things
that actually work.
They don't need that.
It might actually be something.
That's so funny.
Hang on 1 second, you guys. I'll be right back.
Yeah, all right. So, Laura, let's talk about what was your – we have to do a break, Laura, and then we come back. I want to find out kind of more about your process and how you got the book made, what it was like getting interviews. It fascinates me because I can't believe that this actually – I love that this book actually exists now after hearing these stories for years. So, Laura Enright is my guest. She's the author of The Meet the Parents Story. Greg Liana is with us, too. He's the creator of Meet the Parents. We will be right back with more with these two talented people on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We recently reported on presidential orders, including executive orders, and how they're used. Executive orders can also be used to revoke previous orders, and among President Donald Trump's day one orders was removing a policy of the federal government to promote access to voting. Trump's executive order, entitled Initial Rescissions of Harmful Executive Orders and Actions, terminated 78 of President Joe Biden's orders, including Order 14019, setting a policy for the federal government to promote access to voting. Biden's order, as noted on the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission website, quote, directed all federal agencies to consider ways to expand citizens' opportunities to register to vote and to obtain information about and participate in the electoral process. This included ensuring equal access for voters with disabilities and non-English-speaking Americans. It ensured voting opportunities for active duty, military, and overseas citizens and established a federal ballot tracking system to assist those voters. It created a federal working group to protect voting access for Native American voters, and it allowed time off for federal employees to vote and serve as poll workers. Although not included in the day one orders, Trump has also pledged to limit voting to Election Day only. We have more on Trump's day one executive orders at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
I'm Dr. Jasmine Zapata, Chief Medical Officer for Community Health at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Every year in the U.S., about 21,000 lung cancer deaths are caused by radon, an odorless, tasteless, and colorless gas. One in 10 Wisconsin homes has high levels of radon. Does yours? Call 1-888-LOW-RADON or visit lowradon.org to learn more. Test. Fix. Save a life.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome back. Our question of the night is extreme heat or extreme cold? If you did not have heat or air conditioning, what would you opt for? Extreme heat or extreme cold? Joe from the 715 says extreme heat. Extreme heat is kicking extreme cold's ass tonight, probably because it's 0 degrees outside right now. That might have something to do with it. Joining me right now on Nightlight, I'm very excited, is my writing part, one of my writing partners and good friend Greg Liana, former comedian and the author of the Meet the Parents story, Laura Enright. Laura wrote a book about Greg's experiences selling his independent film Meet the Parents to the studio and the journey he went on afterwards. Greg, what are you most... when you watch the new Meet the Parents, what do you miss the most about your film? And what are you okay with in regard to the changes they made?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm about to run out into the cold. You know, what they did was fine. There's gags that I thought were really funny that I can't believe they would take out. But, you know, they made a good movie. It's very successful. I don't want to sit here and nitpick. You know,
I was really hoping you would. I'm kidding.
I'll be happy to nitpick.
Let's do that. I'd love to hear what you have to say, Laura. I want to say that the guy in Greg's movie, which you can watch on YouTube, who played the father, to me, funnier than Robert De Niro. I know that sounds crazy, but more real. De Niro is kind of playing the tough guy, De Niro, CIA, mob guy, and that's just was over the top. And Greg's movie was so real. They were real characters. There was real awkwardness. And that, to me, was the charm of the whole experience of meeting the parents. What do you think, Laura?
I agree. I loved the original movie. I didn't really laugh at the new movie, but part of that is me. But, you're saying, the father, the whole CIA thing, I thought was unnecessary. It's just too much. And that's the problem I had with the new movie, that everything was too much. And they even took the seeds of the jokes from Greg and Mary Ruth and just went too far with them and were overloaded them. And it just, the subtlety was gone. And I did not find Greg in the new movie very sympathetic or completely sympathetic.
Who was played by Ben Stiller.
Yeah, and I like Ben Stiller.
Same.
But I just did not find him sympathetic.
Yeah. What did you, Laura, what did you learn writing this book? Like, you knew Greg from way back. You probably didn't know all the intricacies of this experience with Meet the Parents. What did you learn? What were you most shocked to learn writing this book, if anything?
I think how long the process can take. You know, when I saw that a remake was going to be made, I'm like, oh, well, good for Greg. You know, I'm sure there'll be something in it for him. And I think everyone instantly thinks that. But when you get to the part about the credits and how screenplay credit would have been so much better than story by credit, which is what he ended up getting in Mary Ruth.
Right.
And it's like, you know, there's a lot of, I never realized how much shenanigans can go on. You know, a lot of people think, oh, I'll take this to Hollywood, and they'll, you know, no. I think he was kind of, he and Mary Ruth were both kind of screwed on that, and that surprised me.
There's just so much money to be made or at stake, mm-hmm. and that just makes people crazy. And to me, I feel like once you do something as egregious as taking someone's name off a script, I feel like even though the movie's out, there should be grounds for legal action if people see fit. Has that ever been mentioned?
I didn't come across anything like that. I mean, I came across other issues that I know a lot of people are not very happy with the Writers Guild because they often don't seem to stand up for you know, the people who are paying them the dues, in which in this case was also they didn't stand up very well for Greg and Mary Ruth. So I think a lot in Hollywood are not very happy with them.
That's really interesting you say that because mm-hmm. I'm a member of the Writers Guild, obviously. I support them, but I have heard stories mm-hmm. where they tend to sort of kowtow to bigger celebrities or, you know, I think they can mm-hmm. be pushed around based on, you know, the circumstance.
Oh, yeah. I think in this case, I think Mary Ruth and Greg's status just it wasn't well known enough. I really do believe that. I think it was very easy for them to just kind of bulldoze over them and say, no, even with the arbitration,
absolutely.
You know, they had everything and it's just like, boom, no, we're going to go with these two who have been in Hollywood for, you know, longer.
Yeah. And I think, you know, and not that I'm defending the studios, but I think they don't want to have to deal with these little nuance or these little mm-hmm. Nuisances like other writers who created the, you know, it's just easier for them. So if they can sweep some of that under the rug, they're going to do it to make their own lives easier. Who did you interview, Laura, in addition to the other writers? Like, who interested you the most when you were doing interviews for the book?
I thought Nancy Tenenbaum, the producer, was very fascinating. You know, her history with the business in itself, and also just some of the, you know, her efforts to get the movie made. I know Greg actually interviewed a guy, and I love the story, a guy named Clay Heery, who was a friend of Emo, and took the movie, Greg's original movie, from studio to studio to studio to see if somebody would be willing to buy it. And his story of his tale of his travels and that, I just love. And he tells the story, which I think is fantastic, about he went to Universal. It was around the time that the Jurassic Park had been made. Universal, ironically, was interested, but they said to him, we have an idea. How about if when the couple go to the door to meet the parents, when the door opens, the parents are dinosaurs?
Come on.
And I'm like, are you serious? And he said, yeah. You know, he told Greg, yeah, that's actually what happened. Because, you know, you got it. Because, and I think that's part of the problem with Universal, too. They were getting movies that were so big.
Yeah.
That they didn't want to fart around with movies that weren't going to make them money, which
That's
is kind
so
of
great.
A problem with Hollywood now anyway.
Laura, can you stick around for a few minutes through the news? I want to ask you about another book you wrote, too. I don't know if we still have Greg or not, but we'll be right back with more with author Laura Enright and possibly Meet the Parents creator Greg Liana. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, Matt Rothschild joins as co-host. We will preview Governor Evers' State of the State address. Plus, if the 14th Amendment can be overturned by executive order, what about the first or second? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Earl Ingram.
Is there an absolute right and wrong in things and in society?
Sure.
So somebody on the other side is clearly supporting something that is wrong, and I'm supposed to...
Well, it's a two-way street. I think if we all would become open to talk and dialogue, we could get somewhere. The space between you can only be bridged by trying to understand what it is the other person is thinking and why.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. On his first full day in office, President Trump was grilled about issuing 1,500 pardons to January 6 convicts.
These people have already served years in prison, and they've served them viciously. It's a disgusting prison. It's been horrible. It's inhumane. It's been a terrible, terrible thing.
Attorneys general from 22 states, Washington, D.C., and San Francisco are all suing the administration over Trump's executive order that will try to end birthright citizenship in the United States. Portland, Oregon police looking for the group of hooded and masked individuals who broke dozens of windows and painted anti-government graffiti on the county elections building before dawn on Monday. Ichiro Suzuki, CeCe Sabathia, and Billy Wagner have been elected to baseball's Hall of Fame. They'll be inducted July 27th along with sluggers Dave Parker and the late Dick Allen. This is ABC News.
Between all the